John Heller, but for some reason, my name has been changed to Joe Christensen all of a sudden. Well, no, I did that. Actually, everybody from Omaha, almost, not everybody, but almost everybody from Omaha, Nebraska, or thereabouts, has come up and introduced themselves this morning as, good morning, my name is Joe Christensen. Good morning, my name is, oh, shocker. Here comes John Heller. You do that just once or twice. Us boys from Oklahoma, we're pretty smart, you know. Well, normally, I say I'm real glad to be here, but for a certain group that's here, I'll wait until Sunday morning before I say that. For the rest of you...
I wasn't there that weekend.
Ah, okay. Well, I am glad to be here, and it's good to see each of you. And I trust that you had a good night's sleep, long night's sleep. Everybody's rested. Soon we'll be arrested. I hope not. Well, I'm glad you're here this weekend. And what speaker have you heard who would come to a conference and say, I really have a burden and I want to share it with you? All of you have probably heard that. And you may have heard a speaker say, well, you know, I really have a special burden I want to share with you this weekend. And you've heard people say that. And I would be no different this weekend in one sense. I believe what I want to share with you this weekend can change your life. And I believe that if you will really zero in on what's going to be talked about this weekend, you will become excited about how close we really are to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ return for the church. We are not playing Sunday school. We're not playing tiddlywinks. We're not just out having a great time. We're going to have a good time this weekend. I want to tell you something. We are right on the cusp of the return of Jesus Christ. And my goal this weekend is to share with you some things that you need to be aware of and to be alerted to, because there is an undercurrent and a movement in the world today that is preparing the way for the Antichrist. And it is awesome. And it is deceptive. And it is so subtle and so sneaky that if you're not aware of it, it'll slowly reach. Yes, dear believer, if you, a child of God, are not aware of it, it will slowly seek its clutches into your life, and it may pull you in for a certain period of time into this particular belief and doctrine is how powerful it is. So I trust you will really pay attention to what's going on, because I will do everything I possibly can this weekend to lay this thing out for you, document it with the Word of God, and answer your questions. Now, after having said all of that, you're asking the question, whew, what's the old man all riled up about? Can't even say it yet. We're going to be taking a look this weekend at the New Age movement. Now, some of you are saying, what's the New Age movement?
Well, it's just probably another book. I should go out and read another new book, or, you know, new, oh yeah, I love new things, or go down and buy some clothes, or
whatever. But the New Age movement is a powerful, powerful tool that is being slowly and very, very quietly being implemented. And I want to warn everybody this weekend, and don't go home and say to yourself or your friends or even mom and dad, do you know what John Heller said? John Heller said the New Age is the actual Antichrist. Don't say that. And don't go home and say, oh, John Heller said that the New Age is a big conspiracy and you just have to look under every rock and there's a commie meeting. Okay, no, I'm not going to say that because they're too smart for that. And it's not necessarily they. It is Satan himself. I want to tell you something, my young friend. Satan is orchestrating the world right now for this one called Antichrist that will soon be on the world scene. I personally believe that the Antichrist is alive right now. Now, I could be wrong. I hope I am wrong. And chances are, knowing John Heller, he is wrong. Maybe. But there are going to be some very interesting things I want to share with you this weekend. We are not going to dabble into the New Age movement itself. I don't think that's profitable. I think we're wasting our time getting into the actual doctrine of it. But what I want to do is share with you some of the buzzwords they use and some of the identifying things so that if you've got friends, and maybe you're in it right now, and I want you to know something. If you have been involved in maybe this New Age movement or this enlightenment or this soul awakening, I want to tell you with all the love in my heart, I am not after you this weekend. And don't look at old John Heller doing this after you, okay? I'm not coming after you with, you know, a ball chain and all kinds of mean ferocities. I want to pursue you in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and just warn you, please, if you're locked into this thing, get out, shake it, and come back to the truth of the Word of God. I guarantee you, based upon His authority, it will be the only thing that will stand you in good stead. Nothing else will do. So, having said all that, let's ask the Lord to bless our weekend together and that this will be a profitable time for us all. Our Heavenly Father, we do approach Your presence this morning asking specifically that You would meet with us this weekend. Father, what we're going to look at, we know is a confusing subject to many. It's a subject that many are saying even now, perhaps. Why the importance put behind this? Why such a concentrated effort to look at this subject? And yet, Father, we see it as being one of the greatest tools that Satan has ever used upon the face of the earth to unite this ungodly world and prepare it for the coming of the Antichrist. Father, we pray our hearts would be open, and we pray that we would learn something this weekend and be challenged. And then, Father, we also ask that You give us a good time of fellowship. Father, we ask that You would permit us to laugh and enjoy ourselves and yet be balanced in taking in Your word and being prepared to help others who are struggling and who need the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we would look and ask to You this morning that if there are any here who perhaps hear for the first time and they have never realized nor even understood that they have a need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we look to You specifically, Father, and ask that this would be a weekend in which they might come to the Lord Jesus. We ask You for these things in our Savior's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now, I'm not sure whether this is being taped or not, and I will say this, that if you would like this message on tape, I am going to present this in my home fellowship back in Tulsa. So if you'd like to have a copy of it, if it's not being taped, you just get my name, and if you like it, I'll be happy to send you copies of the tapes. Now, well, what I'd like to do this morning is to take a look at just what is the New Age. And I know a lot of people have asked, what is the New Age? And I must confess, it may seem at first, and as is with anything else, it takes a little adjustment to kind of lock into some of this and to get moving in such a direction where we're picking up some steam. But I guarantee you, if you'll stay with me and follow this movement through, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at some of the things that are going on, because it's pointing us just right up to the brink of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to look at what is the New Age movement, and we'll start with the first point. The New Age movement has about five basic principles on which they're pushing right now in the world. The first principle is this: all is one. Okay? All is one. This starts from holistic health to the new physics theologies, to politics, to transpersonal psychology, to Eastern religions, to established religions, from the occult. It includes everything. And their primary push, the New Age people are pushing these days, this idea that everything is one. Nothing is separate. Nothing can be pulled off in a separate identity and be classified as unique. Nothing is unique. Everything is one. There is no barriers. Everything must be torn down. Everything must be that would hinder total unity must be destroyed. That is their main push. Now, what they will do is they will say, and I quote you, there is no difference between a carrot and a rock. Okay? They say that, specifically. There is no difference between a carrot and a rock. Now, you give me a carrot and give me a rock, and even though I am from Oklahoma, I think I can tell you the difference between a rock and a carrot. Now, that may sound fundamental, and it may sound like it's a little silly, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to push a bigger doctrine on you. Because What they say is that there's no difference between a rock and a carrot, and then the next phrase they come out with is that there is no difference between God and man. And that's an important thing, because what they're trying to do is that they're trying to say God and man are the exact same things. And I'm going to tell you something, they're not. And don't be hornswoggled or fooled or swashbuckled on this point. There is a difference between a rock and there's a difference between a carrot. Believe you me, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between this microphone and this podium. There's a big difference between me and this podium. Well,
that was a bad illustration.
I think you get the point. What they're saying is everything is one. They even go so far as to say that any differences are only apparent and not real. Only the differences in which you see are only apparent. They're not real. So if I were to come up here and smash my face in, that wouldn't be real, man. That would just be apparent.
I won't tell you something. That's real.
Okay? Now, it's really kind of crazy when you think about it. How could anybody purport to push that kind of a thinking upon man? But I'll tell you what, they're too worried about this idea of the rocks and carrots all being the same. What they're really driving at is they're trying to tell you that you're equal with God. And I want to tell you something, and we'll look at it a little bit more explicitly later on. You're not equal with God. I'm not equal with God. God is a unique being. He is separate. He is an entity of a beautiful personality. He is a person, and he's all powerful. We'll look at that a little bit later. Well, you cannot put a definition on something and say that speaker is the same as this clip up here. It's not the truth. But they're saying it, and they're trying to get the whole world to break down the differences and the distinctions between certain things. Let me use a movie to illustrate this with it. If I use a movie, I'm not picking on anybody that likes to watch movies like this. It only serves to put home the illustration I want. Now, I'm sure some of you have seen the movie called The Dark Crystal, okay? And in that movie, if you haven't, I'll give you just a little scenario of it. In that movie, there are two groups of people. There's the mystics and the Skeezes, if I pronounce that right. The mystics are lovable, sweet, adorable, you know, they're just fun-loving, peaceful. You just go, oh, aren't they just so sweet? And then you have the Skeezes, you know, they're big and ugly. They look like this, and they're just swapping around, and they're whoremongers, and, you know, warriors, and they're just evil and everything like that. And the basic thrust of this movie came from the fact that there was a crystal that was broken off or part of a hole, and it was gone or taken away to another planet. And they sent out one of the little warriors to go out and find that crystal and put it back into the main crystal body. I guess I'm getting this all right, if I'm not somebody correcting me. And what happens then, now note this, what happens then is that once that crystal has been united back to its former place, then there's a cosmic change that takes place, and there's no longer the distinction between good and evil. You gotta watch that thing because they are crafty and they know exactly what they're doing. And what they're trying to say is this. There's no difference between good and evil. No difference between God and man. And I want to tell you something. God's Word says there's a difference. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. God gave a specific warning to this end. And he said this. He said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And so what they're pushing today is that there's no difference between good and evil. There's no difference between God and man. There's no difference between the material and the spiritual. It's all the same. And if one doesn't get a hold of that, one's going to be sucked in under this ooshy-gooshy, oh, everything's just fine. You know, we can sit around and watch people getting murdered. Oh, well, that's just part of what's going on in life. And it's not. It's a very well-devised plan to break down man's resistance and to get him to pull in the big lie. Let me read you a quote. And I don't want to quote myself. I want you to hear what these people are saying. This statement was made by Jonathan Stone, which is considered now a New Age authority. He said this, I feel that there's a coming world order in which science will merge with monistic philosophy. Monistic philosophy, by the way, is all is one. And that the world will be swept up in a new way of consciousness. The one distinguishing feature of the new world order will be the credo, all is one. Now that's their statement. That's not my surmising of it. It's not my evaluation. That is their statement. By the way, these New Age people are all over the world. Remember back in September when it was touted on the news, it was in the newspapers, it was all over the big newses. We're having a big Age of Aquarius harmonic convergence. That is big business, gang. It's not popcorn stuff and it's not small fry business. They mean business. They're serious. It's all over the world. And what they're trying to do, that harmonic convergence, by the way, and I won't get into all the details of it because we won't have time. I have a tremendous amount of other material we need to cover. But what they are simply saying is that harmonic convergence was a time when demons and man become one. Now that sounds kind of awful. But what they're doing is they're trying to get all the people in the world to start locking into the inner self and find their spirit guides or their channelers or whatever that is. And they were hoping at that time to bring about such a oneness between demon powers that this world could usher in a new age movement and a new world system. They tried. Time's not ready. God said, no, not yet. It's a preparatory work that they're trying to do. So don't be fooled by it. Now, the next thing is this. Now, if they say all is one, what would you think the next thing they would say? What would be the next logical thing? All is what? God. Now that's their doctrine. That's what they push. And it's nothing different than the old doctrine of pantheism. And those of you who have been in school long enough to study that doctrine know that pantheism is just simply God's in everything. God's in this pulpit here. God's in the microphone. God's in the light. God's in the rock. God's in the speaker box there, he's in the carpet, he's in the rocks and trees all around here. God's not in the carpet, God's not in the rocks, God's not in the podium here. God specifically states he's in heaven. And we'll look at that too a little bit later. And they push this very hard, and I'm going to show you why they push this. Notice, if you will, that what they're trying to do is they're trying to take away the fact that there's a personal God. They're trying to destroy the fact that there's a personal God. And you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to say that God is just one of these floating entities. Now, we'll get into this a little bit later on. And I'm not going to be preaching a lot on movies and stuff, okay? I'm only using them as examples. And because we're aware of them, you can tie into them, and I hope you can begin to see a little bit of what's going on. Star Wars.
Oh, he's going to pick on that?
Mm-hmm. Star Wars. What is one of their favorite cliches when they're parting one another or they're in a real bad disaster? May the Force be with you. And dear Christian friend and non-Christian friend, they are not just playing games. Because embraced in the idea of pantheism is the fact that they look at God as a what? Force. They look at God as a force, not a personal God. Danger! Warning bells, alarms ought to go off at this time. If you have any of your friends, anybody coming up to you and saying, look, we believe in God, and I have a tape I'm going to let you hear tomorrow night of a lady who was on the radio, and I just happened to be dialing through, and she happened to say that she was a witch, and yet she believed in God. My friend, don't be deceived. Yes, they believe in a God, not the God of heaven, and don't be fooled. They believe he's a force. They believe he has no personality. He has no will. He's just a floating entity. I can't fully understand that, and I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time trying to figure it out because it's stupid, it's foolish, and it's unbiblical. They look upon God It's just a force. All right? The third point of the New Age movement is this. All right? If all is one and all are God, then guess what? Humanity is what? God. And that is their big push right now. And if you go to any of these places or you talk to any of these people that are so-called enlightened, you know what they're going to tell you? God is within you. You know what they're quoting now? They're saying, kneel to yourself and see that God is in you. And you know what they're saying? Get in touch with TM. Now you may say, oh, you know, I'm not too worried about TM. I'd stay away from it. And I would. Definitely. I'd run from it, and I'd warn all your friends to get out of it. And I hope that as we go through this weekend, this will be a good tool for you to be able to go back and to share with others who may be dabbling in it. What they're simply doing is trying to say that all you've got to do is turn the light within you and realize that you are okay, man. You are it. Now, you've got your Bibles. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, famous, familiar, old portion of scripture, one that's been around for thousands of years, but one that really keys in on what's coming about in this world today. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now notice, please, verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you know the two big things that Satan tempted Eve with in the garden? What were they? Number one, immortality, and number two, godhood. I'm going to repeat that again. Satan tempted Eve in the garden, number one, with godhood, and number two, immortality. And you know what? Satan has not abandoned his plan to push that upon all men. And anybody that would be open today and gullible enough or ignorant of God's word would fall under this guise. And I'm going to tell you something. If you hadn't been under the sound of God's word and somebody was going to come up to you and say, hey, you know something? You're really God. Huh? I'm God? Yeah. And listen, they're very crafty about pushing that thing. And I just want you to know, it's an age-old trick. It's an age-old tactic of Satan. He is pushing the godhood of mankind. And what he's pushing today, I want to tell you, what they're telling all New Age people today, and anybody that wants to become a convert, is that God is in you. You are God. And you go back and you look at those words in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, and you'll see that's exactly what Satan tempted Eve with. Eve, you know what? You can become God. Now ladies, I'm not trying to pick on you. But do you know who are the forerunners in the New Age movement today? And you know the second lie that Satan's pushing? Immortality. In other words, you will never die. You see that in verse 5. Pardon me, verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely what? Die. What's he pushing? Immortality. Now, anybody of you recognize this name, Arthur Clarke? Okay. Arthur Clarke is the author of 2001 Space Odyssey. And he also did the sequel, 2010. And if you're not watching him real carefully, and I hope nobody's watching this garbage, because I'm gonna tell you something, it's garbage. Because there's a lot of subtleism between the lines. And what Arthur Clarke wanted to present in his movie was the fact that there's a coming new age. That's why the second star in the sky at the end. Now, lest you think I am touting and blowing a lot of hot air, Arthur Clarke said he believes mankind will achieve immortality by the year 2100. And he's gone on record as saying it. Now, here's a man that supposedly put out some of the most beautiful faith movies ever created. And yet, he is an avowed New Age activist. I just want you to be aware of the fact that the things that we're seeing today, all of these movies that are coming out that are purporting the mysticism and the demonic magic and all this kind of stuff, I just want to warn you, because I know young people that go and they watch this stuff and they suck it up and they take it as gospel and they call themselves Christians and they're right in the mainstream of the New Age movement and have no idea of it. And I want to warn you this morning, you better get out. It's a deadly trap. It is a satanic trap that has been planned back in the Garden of Eden. It's a plan that Satan has tried to push up every opportunity he tried to do it with Babylon. He tried to do it with the Medo-Persian Empire. He tried to do it with the Grecian Empire. He tried to do it with the Roman Empire. He's tried to do it with all of the different political systems from the time of Christ up until our recent time. He tried to do it through Hitler, and now he thinks he's got enough people in the world that are so-called world conscious that he can shove it into being in a very sneaky and a very crafty way of coming in with love and peace. And let's love one another. Let's be kind. Let's lay down our weapons. Let's focus upon the needs of the world. If you think I'm playing games, I've got a U.S. Today article that I want to just read. And it was June 5th, it was this year, 1987. Some of you may have seen this. I just want to read it to you. Join Pope John Paul II in an unprecedented global event as he leads over 1 million worshipers around the world in a special recitation of the Rosary for World Peace. Then he goes on, he says, live responses in major languages from congregations and churches, shrines, and cathedrals worldwide. Notice this. They broadcast this thing live in a global audience to over 1 billion people. Now, I'll hold this up here, and if you'd like to come up and just take a look at it afterwards, you can. What, they're not coming in and saying, we're the wicked antichrist that the Bible predicted about. We're the wicked, evil people that are going to come on the world at the last days. Yeah. They're not doing that. They're coming in and saying, hey,
you are.
Tell you what, why don't you come to a little seminar with me and you can find out who you really are. And what they're saying under their breath, very quietly, very sneakily, is, you are God. And we're all God. And when we all get our act together and realize that we're all God, our world's going to change. And what they're saying is that it's not bad to want to be peaceful. What they're saying is not bad to want to put down wars. And I'll tell you what, I want peace. As a Christian, I want peace. I want wars to stop. I want hungers to stop. But I'll guarantee you, I want it God's way. I want it biblically. I don't want it unbiblically. And what you see rising up out of the world today, let me stop, for instance, and just quote you a little song that we're all familiar with. It's a Coke commercial, but it's a very strong message behind that Coke commercial. And what's that Coke commercial say? I'd like the world to sing a song in perfect harmony. We are not playing games. This is real, and I'll quote you some other stuff and give you some more facts to solidify this reality that is coming, and it's just coming up covered in candy. It's coming up covered very quietly so that the Christian community won't be alarmed. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear believer, we need not to be overly alarmed. We need to wake up. We need to be prepared. And we need to be able to talk to people that are getting into this and show them the truth. We'll get into this a little bit later on. I'll show you. They've got the scriptures turned around to say what they want to say. And if you're not alert and you're not on top of it, you're going to go, huh, Is that really right? And I hope nobody goes out of this place this weekend coming away with a false understanding of what's going on. I'm going to drill this thing. We're going to go through it. And I want to tell you something. I'll be around. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to go away.
I got to go pray. I got to go study.
Hide away in my chamber. I'm going to be out and around. And if you got questions and you want to talk, I'll be available. And if you've got questions, please don't hold that question. And if you're shy and embarrassed,
well, I don't know if I can go up and talk to you.
I don't want you to do that. I want you to come up and talk to me about it. This is so serious. This is such an important thing. And then the more I get to talking about it, and the more the things I begin to share with you, I think you're going to be able to realize that, hey, wait a second. We are moving into the last moments. Now, I don't know about you guys, that excites me. Because you know what? The Lord Jesus is coming for us that know Him. Soon. Soon. And I hope you're ready. Oh, I hope you're ready. And I hope those of you that have dilly-dallied back and forth and maybe have said, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm really ready. Please make this the weekend when you know you're ready. And you can know. Alrighty. Now, lest you think I'm blabbing again off of my own head, let me share with you a couple of other quotes. By the way, I'll be recommending some material for you that I feel is conservative enough and not sensational enough that you can sit down and read and get something very meaty out of it at the end of our conference that you can go home and locate yourself. I'd like to share with you a couple of quotes concerning this area about Godhood, just so that you'll see that I'm not taking this on my own and plagiarizing. I want to quote you verbatim. John Randolph Price. Now, some of you may be familiar with John Randolph Price. He's a terrific author today. He, too, also is an avowed New Ageist. He says, when man realizes his God identity, a race of God will rule the universe. There is only one question, and once you know the answer to that question, there's none other to ask. We are God. Now that's what they're saying. The well-developed, well-patterned individual is a being of the highest phenomenon of which we have knowledge, and the variety of individual personalities is the highest and the world's highest riches is man. I won't read anything else outside of this little statement. Here's their big motto. First, you go toward the light. Next, you're in the light. And then third, you are the light. That's how they push this thing upon their converts. Now these are quotes. I'm quoting you what these men are saying. I'm not giving you what John Heller has surmised. I'm quoting you exactly what these men have said. And I want you just to be aware and to be warned of this very thing. I want to call to your attention now, because I think it's very important that we stay close to the Word of God as we go through these things. Turn, if you will, now in your Bible to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12. Now, those of you that attended the conference in spring in, where was that? There we go, Topeka. I had a mind blank there. Topeka will remember that we went over this a little bit. I'd like to go back to that and refresh our memory in light of what we're talking about this morning. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And God says, oh, no, you won't. Look at the next verse. Thou shalt be brought down to hell and to the sides of the pit. But there's going to be a period of time when God will permit this one who has rejected the very beauties of Christ to rise upon the world for a short period of time. And I want to tell you something. Right now, you are not going to stop this movement. Personally. And I wouldn't encourage you to go out and raise up posters and say, anti-New Age, and start picketing. The only way that we can be effective right now is to be effective in telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm afraid today that many Christians have become too comfortable, encased in their little cocoon, thinking, oh, I've got it and I'm safe now and all I need to do is just live it and others will see it. Well, that's important and I'm not downplaying that. Well, where's the mouth? Where's the ability to tell that friend of yours or those people you're around, they're lost and they need the Lord Jesus Christ, not the New Age? I want to tell you, these New Age people are serious. They are saying that they will bring mankind a new religion. They will bring mankind a new world order, political, economic, everything. They are saying they will solve mankind's deepest yearnings. It's a hard carrot to resist if you're without Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to get in with the gospel and tell them now, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has, before the world was formed, exalted himself as God. And I'll tell you one of the quick ways to identify anybody. And now they don't all come out and say,
New Age.
They don't do that. Okay? They're very, very crafty about it. They, you know what, these guys aren't all Indian gurus wearing, you know, long hair and white robes and they're not all doing that. You know who these people are? They're business executives, they're housewives, and some of them, believe it or not, are preachers and Christian workers. We need to be very, very careful. This is a very, very subtle plan, and they intend to keep it that way, lest we rise up and begin getting active about winning souls to the Lord Jesus. Now, let's move on. Now, not only do they say all is one, not only do they say all is God, not only do they say that humanity is God, they say that there is now a need in consciousness change. In other words, there's a need for the consciousness of mankind to change. Let me read you a quote. Western culture has shaped our consciousness, trimming our experiences, and taming our metaphysics. We remain content with the everyday illusions of human limitations and finitude. We need to be enlightened. We have forgotten our true identity. Now that's what they'll tell you when they really pare away all of the, you know, the external frivolities and they get you in and say, hi, how are you? And they're real good friends and you're chumming up and you're going, oh, this is just great. Man, you guys are alright. You're cool, man. You know, you're not warmongers, man. You're peaceful. You want a world peace? You want a, oh, you're alright, man. You guys ought to become Christians. And I say, well, you know, yeah, we believe in change too. We believe that man has to change. And that's what they'll tell you. They say, we believe man's got to change his consciousness. Except what they're saying is that man has to change his consciousness our route and not God's route. Now, they'll go and say, they won't deny they believe in God. And we'll get into this a little bit later. They say, oh yeah, we believe in God. Very, very much so. One of the things that they propound is that modern man right now is a sleeping giant. And what these New Age people are trying to do right now is they're trying to wake mankind up. I'll tell you how they're doing it. They're doing it in the classrooms. They're doing it at the movie theaters. They're doing it in the songs we listen to today. They're doing it in personal sharing groups. They're doing it, just by the way, Robert Mueller. How many of you know who Robert Mueller is? Okay? Just in case. We're not aware of this. I'll give you a little case history and background. Robert Mueller is the Assistant Secretary to the United Nations. What's the general guy? The Hakarishi of the United Nations. Well, what anyway, he's second in command of the United Nations. You know what he said? Now, he's a respectable man. He said, a United Nations flag, he didn't say this very long ago, but he said, a United Nations flag ought to fly in every church. They're serious about this. And they feel, boy, if you guys aren't coming along with us, if you don't join us, you're out. And we'll talk about that a little later, too. They've got us all figured out, by the way. I want to just say something. If you've taken Christ as your Savior, it's going to become more and more important for you to stand up. You're going to be identified, my friend, real quick. And we're going to get into more of this a little bit later. But they simply say that modern man is sleepy and needs to wake up. They also say the way he wakes up is through TM. Now, they won't come out and say TM because they know a lot of us have been really alarmed by that. You know what they call it? They call it conscious awareness seminars, self-help seminars. The list goes on. Self-potential awareness seminars. Silver mind control. That's another good deception of the devil. Wicked deception, rather. Okay, it's all over. I won't tell you, and I'll share some other facts with you later on. This thing is not a latent little baby that's just going to blow out as a fad. It's a potent force that is moving with real power. And they believe that if they can get everybody tuned into this consciousness business, they've got the world lit. One of the things that they propose that man ought to be able to start doing is they ought to be able to start practicing astral projection. They ought to be able to levitate. Telepathy, ESP, telekinesis, attainment. What they're looking for is an attainment to world consciousness. Cosmic consciousness is what they call it. They want everybody's mind in tune with everybody else. Now, as you watch Star Wars, if you've ever seen it, you'll remember that there was a time when, I guess it was Luke Skywalker was flying around in his plane and or there was a calamity or something took place, and he was in trouble, and somebody else on their ship recognized, wait a second, so-and-so's in trouble, we've got to go back. You'll see this with, I guess, Darth Vader is the meanie in this thing. He communicates with Luke Skywalker in what's called telepathy. Now, you know, you and I, we don't think about that. If we're watching a movie like that, we're, and we're going, oh, look at all this stuff. Ooh, look at all that. You know, we're just going, oh, the special effects and the scheme, the plot. Well, it's all, captivating. Let me tell you, they are interjecting because there's a lot of little minds that are watching that stuff, and they're interjecting what they want for the child and what they want for us to start believing. What I'm simply saying is that they're trying to get into this aurora of transcendental meditation, which came from the Hindus and the Buddhists. And they're very big in this kind of stuff. They levitate, they do the telekinesis, they get into all this kind of stuff, and I just want to say point blank, it's demonic. Period. It is not man's innate abilities, it's not man's innate awakenings that they're trying to do. All they're trying to do is to get a person in TM, get them to blase their mind, drop their defenses, come like a bowl of gel, like this, and then what they're doing is they're ushering in demons. And demons are able to give you the power to do what they want you to do. And you're going, wow, I'm enlightened. Oh, no, you're not. You're playing around with the death of hell. But they won't tell you that. They have nice words for demons. Master guides, channelers, spiritual enlighteners, wonderful beings. Kind of reminds you of the statement in Corinthians, doesn't it, that they pose themselves as angels of light. When really, in all reality, they are the darkest agents in the lowest pits of hell. You can see them at toys, can't you? You can just see demon impersonations in these toys that are coming out today. I'm going to pick on, I guess, somebody else's favorite. I hope we're not disappointing anybody, but what's this guy that comes on Monday night? Al. Yeah. caught somebody, didn't I? Yeah! Now, I don't know where they got that guy from, okay? And you may think I'm kind of crazy, okay? And I'm not picking. But I tell you what, I don't like to watch the show. Something inside of me just turns a little. You know what they're doing? Demons are already here. They're already manifested in a physical way in many areas through the toys and the movies. You're saying, why? Because when Satan turns his so-called love message over. Some of these guys are going to be reappearing. They're going to be doing wonders. We're going to see that a little bit later, too. What they're doing is they're conditioning the world right now to accept it and not be turned off by it. So that when you see these creatures... Let me read you a couple of things just to, validate with you some of the things that I'm talking about. I don't want you just to take my word for it. It's too easy for a preacher, and believe me, we're not going to stay on this subject too long. What I'm trying to do, this session and this session alone, is just an awareness session to get you aware of some of the things that are going on. And what we're going to be doing the rest of our time together is taking a very strong biblical approach and a very careful analysis from Scripture as to what's going on. We need to be aware of some of this stuff. I'm not going into any of the details because I think it's useless. It's not profitable to get into it. I just want you to be aware of what's going on. A quote concerning this whole area of transcendental meditation and this opening up and being aware to oneself. Richard N. Buck, which was a Canadian psychiatrist. And by the way, this so-called New Age movement and this New Age beginnings is about 80 to 90 years old. Some of you may say, well, I've never heard of it, so I think it's maybe 2 or 3 years old. And it's about 80 or 90 years old in its current form. And this man wrote a book called Cosmic Consciousness. And in his book, Cosmic Consciousness, he simply states this. Cosmic consciousness, wrote Burke, appears in individuals of good intellect, high moral qualities, of superior physique. He proposed that a time will come when to be without this faculty, this consciousness, will be a mark of inferiority. And we'll get into this also again a little bit later in a different way, but it is no different than this. And I want to just say this, that if you don't possess this Christ consciousness, this awareness which is supposed to be sweeping the world, they will do away with you. And I have quotes. I have on this tape I got this witch. This one who was doing the predictions made a very, very interesting statement. I think you'll find it interesting. We won't listen to what she has to say. I just want you to listen to what she said about this particular area about the Christians. All right. Now, we want to move on. And if we understand that what is being done here is that we're trying to be brought into a Christ consciousness. And all of us are supposed to be locking into this higher power, this awareness of one another and of the world and everything that goes on. And then their last major point is this. All religions are one. And they teach this avidly, that all roads lead to the same place. And I will say this. All roads lead to the same place, and that is to hell without Christ. And don't you dare buy the lie that all roads lead to God. They do not lead to God. Let me illustrate it to you. A simple illustration. If I got on a road now and I started headed to St. Louis and somebody said, John, you need to go to Los Angeles. And I'd say, well, I am I on the right road? And they say, yeah, you're on the road to St. Louis. But you're on the right road, my friend. No, I'm not on the right road. The road I need to be on is Interstate 44 going southwest, and I'm on I-70 going east. That does not lead me to California, does it? And what they're teaching today is that all religions, whether they're Eastern, whether it's satanic religions, whether it's the occult, or anything goes, except, you got it, Christianity. Anything goes except biblical Christianity. And what they try to do in this thing is they try to first break down the barriers between all the religions of the world. This would be a good article to look at to kind of confirm that. What they're doing is they're knocking down the barriers. The second thing they do in this area of all religions are one is they try to tear down the deity of Jesus Christ and make Jesus Christ just a lesser God. You watch for that. And I'll tell you, one safe tool that you could always use in flushing somebody out of the woods if they're kind of holding back with you and they look kind of real nice and pious and, you know, they look, oh, yeah, it's a nice person, you know. Then you just ask them, what do you think about Jesus Christ? And if they start saying, well, he's a wonderful teacher, ask the question again. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I think he was a great prophet. Ask that person again, what do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? And you'll run it out, and if they never come to the point to say, he is God, alarm's going to go off in your mind right away. And you wait till that person boxes themselves into the corner, and when they come down and say, is that everything you believe about Jesus Christ? Yes. And they've never said he's God. Now, I don't mean Ichabod and get them out of the way from the point of view that you won't work with them, but you mark that person. And you have nothing to do with that person until they come around to the point where they understand that Jesus Christ is God. There is no other. And I want to tell you something. They claim that Muhammad, they claim that Buddha, they claim that all of these great men were nothing more than just a bunch of other Christs. Okay? Mark that down. They don't say there's one Christ. They don't say there's one God. They say there's a whole bunch. Now, I would just like to go and examine God's Word on this point this morning because this is so critical. You can flush everything out. In fact, we don't even need to go through some of the stuff we've gone through this morning if we would just come to this point and get this one thing down. There is nobody else who can deal with your sin and my sin except the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. No one else. There are no greater avatars. There are no greater spiritual teachers. There are no greater forces in the world today that can deal with you like the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, a familiar verse to us all. But listen to it in light of what we've been talking about this morning. I think it takes on a little bit different perspective. For God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son. In other words, what God is telling us is that there is only one who has been born into the world that can claim to be God. You know who that is? Jesus Christ. None other. I don't have to go into any of the cults. I don't have to go into any of the other world religions. I don't have to give you any other explanations. Or would anybody else have to give you any further explanation concerning these religions to try to understand them? All you need to realize is that God has said there has been only one who has been born in the flesh, that is God. And you know who it is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other Christ consciousness. There is no other religion you can get involved with. There is nothing else but Christ. Now these perverts, and pardon me, but they are perverts, will come up to you and say, well, Buddha, you know what he was? He was a brother of Christ. And he taught the very same things that Christ did. Well, actually, Jesus was just one of many Christs. Oh, no, my friend. Jesus is the only Christ. And God's Word declares Him as such. Follow, if you will, in Acts 4:12, which says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only one Christ. Only one name to be saved by. We can't be saved by Buddha. We can't be saved by Muhammad. We can't be saved by all these other great, so-called great teachers and prophets. There's only one who can bring us to the kingdom. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. One of the real key tactics of the New Age movement you will find will be they will undermine the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Watch it. Be on guard for it. Don't buy anything anybody's selling except they teach and they preach to you the Word of God. And I'll tell you something else they're doing right now. They're writing a new Bible. The New Agers are writing a new Bible. You know what they say about this book here? How'd it go? Tell you what. This book has been attacked by the most powerful minds from the time that all of its compilation was put together up until now, and I'll tell you what, almost 90% of the men who have come in and attacked this book come away trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not a one of them who's taken an honest look at this book and tried to disprove it either through prophecy, archaeology, or history, or any other merits has ever come away but saying, you know what, that is the truth. It is historically accurate. It is archaeologically accurate. It is biblically, as far as prophecy goes, is accurate. But I'll tell you what, this beautiful book doesn't have to even have any of that. It's God's Word, and God's Word is self-evident. All you have to do is open the pages of this book, have an open heart toward the Lord, and read it, and the Spirit will quickly start teaching and convicting and encouraging and uplifting. So there's five things we need to be aware of, aren't there? The first one is all is one. That is the main tenet. And then from there they go to the fact that all is God. And then they say all humanity is God. And then they say there needs to be a new consciousness. We need to rip out our old morals, our old traditions, our old ways. We need to tear down everything we've been taught and learn a new way. And then they say that all religions should become one. These are very well documented plans of the New Age movement. Now, I want to just stop and I want to say this. It could be still 150 years before the Lord Jesus comes for us. I have no idea when the Lord Jesus is coming back. I doubt it highly. We could be sitting here today, and I don't want to give anybody the fact that we're on a losing battle. We're not on a losing battle. Quite the contrary. We have a joyful position of being on the winning side. Neither do I want to plant in anybody's mind that this is a conspiracy for which we all have to go like this. Is it all right to go outside now, Martha? Can I go outside? There's no New Age out there. Are there, Martha? Well, dear. I don't know, you better catch your New Age bullets. Get your New Age armor on. They may snag you as you go out the door. No. Okay? And really, and we'll look at this Sunday morning, this is not a conspiracy as such in the way that men would look at a conspiracy. What you find, and this is the dangerous thing about it, what you find is that Satan is now beginning to move all over the world to orchestrate mankind. And some of them don't have any idea that others in the world are coming to the same beliefs they have. Now, they have set up a networking process which they're beginning to start sharing information back and forth on, and it's beginning to get well organized now. But there's no need for us to be alarmed, and there's no need for us to be worried over it. Our need is to recognize our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, understand the basics of it, and like anything else, we don't need to get into it deeply. We don't need to dabble with it to the point where we're just going,
let's see, did you get that, in their manual on page 445 down in that third section, did you see that way they dotted that I down there? You think we ought to get worried about that?
No. Just stay true to the Word of God. Stay close to the principles and the deity of Christ. And have a love for the lost and realize the urgency of the hour. Well, we're going to look at some interesting things this evening. And again, I would just ask that if you have questions, I'll try to be out and around. I will spend a little time today doing some studying, but I'll do my very best to be out and around as much as I can. Please visit with me. I will tell you right now, I will not get off into any detailed subjects about this because, number one, I don't know it all. I purposely kept myself getting too deep into it. I didn't care to know it all. But I will share with you some things from God's Word and try to help you if you're really interested because this is such a potent thing. And I just would trust that each of you might be encouraged this weekend to realize it's wonderful to be a believer. It's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful that the Spirit of God protects us and He prepares us. And you know something? You and I have one of the most beautiful responsibilities of all mankind right now. And that's the herald out message of Jesus Christ. Let's go to prayer. Father, we just want to thank you again so much for this wonderful group of Christians who are gathered here, who evidently love the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we would ask for those that maybe do not know you, that this might be a time when they really recognize that they can no longer remain neutral, that there's a coming movement that will compel them to give an answer one way or the other. And oh, Father, we ask for their souls even this morning, that they might understand to rest and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no other way but to trust Him. We pray that you might rebuke Satan. We recognize that he might not be very happy with what we're talking about here this weekend. And Father, we would just want to pray your protection around us, and we trust confidently in your power. Now we ask, Father, as we part from here, we might be able to enjoy ourselves and have a good time, and yet, Father, may some of the things that we've been talking about this morning in a right way stay with us. Now we ask for your safety and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.